Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today's reading is from Luke, chapter 4, the first four verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." This is the word of the Lord.
Pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent as we have set our face towards Easter. And for the next several Sundays, I'm going to be preaching on the temptations of Christ. We begin in the wilderness and the first temptation. I'll be taking each temptation as we go. For those of you familiar with the story, you know when Jesus is in the wilderness, there are three temptations. And today, we're going to deal with the first one. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. One thing to remember in the sequence of events, Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. If you recall the story, the heavens open up as Jesus rises out from the water, and a dove descends, and the Spirit of God comes upon him, and there's a voice that is heard, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When this event is over, Jesus immediately is led into the wilderness. Now note the word, "was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness." These are Luke's words. And Luke is saying that throughout this entire time in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit is with Jesus. And Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. And for 40 days, he's tempted. Tempted throughout this entire 40 days experience. It's 40 days of temptation. And when they were over, he was starving. He was famished, as any human being possibly would be. Hungry. And then, Luke says the devil comes to him and he says, "If you are the Son of God, command this rock to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus says, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Now, how are we to understand this cryptic response? One does not live by bread alone. We need to remember that Jesus is Jewish. He grew up in a Jewish home. He grew up knowing and understanding from the time that he could begin to understand things, who he was, where he came from, who his ancestors are. He learned from an early age the Torah, the books of the law, the books of the prophets. He heard the stories of Adam and Eve and of Noah and of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He heard the stories of Moses in the wilderness. He heard the stories. He learned the stories by heart of Elijah and the prophets. It was a part of his core of his being. When he gathered together in synagogue and when he went with his parents to the temple in Jerusalem, they would sing the Psalms over and over. He knew them by heart. It was a part of who he was. So he knew. 2,000 years before, when Moses said this to the children of Israel, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, and then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." That's where he got it. He was also aware and knew. Moses went up on Mount Sinai. He was there and he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And while he was there, the Lord God dictated to him the words of the covenant which he wrote on tablets, the Ten Commandments. Jesus also knew that Elijah, the prophet, filled with the Holy Spirit, was sent forth to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, after he suffered an incredible depression and after he realized that Queen Jezebel was after him to take his life. Elijah, full of the Holy Spirit and in the protection of the Holy Spirit, goes to Mount Horeb, and there he finds a cave. And if you recall this story, it is Elijah in the cave where he experiences an earthquake and fire and a whirlwind. And God's not in any of these. And then the still, small voice. And God compels him out of the cave and gives him a whole new direction in life. Jesus knew all this. He knew the Psalms. "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jesus knew what this was. It was a test. It is written, "One does not live by bread alone." Okay. Stay with me now. We're going deep. The Son of God is in the desert. The Son of God is famished and hungry. The Son of God could eat at any time. The Son of God could take care of himself at any time. The Son of God knew this is a test. It was a test of obedience and faithfulness. To who? Well, most of us would read this story. Well, it's Jesus is trying to be faithful to God as Father, but Jesus is God. What's the test? The test is the covenant going to hold? Is the covenant between God and God's people going to hold? The test is, can God be trusted to be obedient to his own covenant? It's one thing for us to be obedient, but if a covenant is going to hold, the other side's got to be obedient to it too. God needs us as much as we need God. It's revealed in the wilderness. One does not live by bread alone. We need each other. Paul says it this way later on to the church. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. This is the human condition, isn't it? This is where we all find ourselves in 24 hours a day. We are pulled and twisted and turned between the will of the Spirit and the will of our insides. Spirit and flesh, that which we can control over our impulses. Now, this is a fascinating thing for me as I try to understand our human condition, particularly as it relates to, you know, current findings in brain science and those kind of things, that we are, us human beings, you know, we have this whole piece of ourselves that is impulsive, automatic. It is that which keeps us alive and thriving and well and doing what we need to do. Our impulsive unconscious nature is buzzing and going on right now as we speak. It keeps us breathing. It keeps us focused. It keeps our body functioning in its full capacity. It's a marvelous and wonderful thing. And then there's this little piece of us that tries to control it. When our impulses seem to get scattered and our cravings and our desires seem to pull us in all kinds of different ways. Control and impulses. We all have the little voices of impulses going on all the time. Wanting us to go after this desire. Want us to grab this craving. Want us to pursue this way. And it's all telling us, now. Now. Grab it. Now. And we're trying to figure it out. This little piece of our conscious self trying to say, can I hold off? Can I wait? Can I resist? All the time. That's just who we are. We've got the little voices of impulse. Edgar Allan Poe, the American poet and author, called it the imps of the perverse. You got them. You've got the voices of impulse. They're buzzing all the time. This is a famous study, 1970, Stanford University. You've probably heard of it. So the experimenter got a little child, and they went into the experiment room, and there was a table and a chair and a little plate with a marshmallow. The experiment is this. So they tell the child, sit here. This is a marshmallow, and it's yours. You can eat it anytime you want to. But I'm going to step out of the room for about 15 minutes, and when I come back, I'm going to bring another marshmallow, and if you have not eaten this one, you can have both of them. So you get the idea. You stay here, you can eat the marshmallow. But if you wait for 15 minutes, I'll come back and you can have two. And so the experimenter leaves, and they watch, and they see what the child's going to do. And they did hundreds of these. And they watched. And the thing they wanted to watch for is how children resist the temptation. What was their level of self-control? And so they watched. Now some, the little imp of impulse, they just grabbed it right away. Others would look at it a bit, then they'd turn around, then they'd play games with their fingers. They would do anything they could to distract themselves away from the temptation. And then in 15 minutes, the experimenter would come in, and their strength of delayed gratification would be rewarded. And so this became a very famous experiment. And so what was revelatory about it was 18 years later, when they went back and they looked up these kids who were in the original experiment, and they discovered, as you might imagine, that those who were better at delaying gratification, those who had a deeper sense of self-control, on the whole, did much better in life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all relational aspects of the Spirit, even self-control. They're all relational. Life in the Spirit is relational. We are not alone. And those who belong to Christ, in relationship with Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. We are not alone. It's the point of the wilderness. God needs us. God needs a relationship with us just as much as we need a relationship with God. Now, this may sound kind of trivial, but it is fundamental, basic truth of the Christian life. God will strengthen your resolve and fortify your willpower over temptation when you give daily attentive care to your mind, your heart, your soul, and your body. Daily attentive care. Focused attentive care. To keep your mind healthy in what you bring into it. How you keep it healthy and clean. Your heart, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Your soul, my soul longs, O Lord, for your presence, and body, to stay healthy, to get enough sleep, to eat the right foods, to exercise, to take care of yourself. God will strengthen your resolve and fortify your willpower over temptation when you give daily attentiveness to self-care in relationship to God. Back when I was 49 years old, that would have been 1999, I'll mention this before in a sermon, that one day in a former church, the staff parish relations committee asked me, what would you like to do for a continuing education? And I said, what I'd like to do and been wanting to do for a long time was to go on an outward bound trek to the desert. So they said, okay, we'll send you to the desert. So I spend 8 or 9 days in the Chihuahuan Desert with about 7 other folks trudging through the desert, the wilderness of southwest Big Bend, Texas. On a particular day, it was noon, we had just finished lunch, and I needed to break away from the group for a private matter. And so I walk over two or three little berms. And when it was time to return to the group, it was a cloudy, overcast day. And I thought I was managing and retracing my tracks perfectly. But when I went over the berm that I thought where they would be, they were not there. So I looked around and I regrouped and retraced, and so I walked in another direction. They were not there. Turned around, walked, tried to orient myself to where they might be. I could not find them. It's as if they just packed up and left me. I mean, nowhere. This was expanse desert, north, south, east, and west. I was alone. Nobody on the anywhere on the horizons. Alone. Now, fortunately, they thought of a contingency for this. They had strung a whistle around my neck. So, am I going to release my pride and blow the whistle? Am I going to realize I'm not going to save myself with this one? I've got to blow the whistle. And so I start blowing. I'm blowing east and west, north and south. I'm blowing the whistle. And finally, there above the horizon, I see this. We don't live by bread alone. You know, be very careful if you say, I'm really not into religion. I'm more spiritual than I am religious. There have been many studies made, and what has been discovered is people who are religious live longer, they are healthier. They live more fulfilled lives because they are bound together with God and in community. Spiritual people do it by themselves, alone. Religious people do their spirituality together. It makes all the difference.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.